Give thanks to the Lord, who is good. God's love is everlasting. Come, let us praise God joyfully. Let us come to God with thanksgiving. For the good world, for things great and small, beautiful and awesome, for seen and unseen splendors, we thank you, God. For human life, for talking and moving and thinking together, for common hopes and hardships, shared from birth until our dying, we thank you, God. For work to do, and strength to work, for the comradeship of labor, for exchanges of good humor and encouragement, we thank you, God. For family, for living together and eating together, playing together, working together, we thank you, God. For children, for their energy and curiosity, for their brave play and startling frankness, for their sudden sympathies, we thank you, God. For the young, for their high hopes, for their irreverence toward worn-out values, for their search for freedom, for moving forward, we thank you, God. For growing up and growing old, for wisdom deepened by experience, for rest in leisure, and growing understanding that time is precious, we thank you, God. For your help in times of doubt and sorrow, for healing our diseases, for preserving us in temptation and danger, we thank you, God. For this church and all who have chosen to walk this path together, we thank you, God. For your Holy Spirit, who guides our steps and brings us gifts of faith and love, who prompts our grateful worship, we thank you, God. For the example of living and being shown to us through the life of Jesus, we thank you, God. We thank and praise you, eternal God, for all your goodness to us. Give thanks to the Lord, who is good. God's love is everlasting. Come, let us praise God joyfully. Let us come to God with thanksgiving.
Good morning, and let's take our blue book. And print at number 17, We Gather Together. This is a song of thanksgiving. And most of our songs, they started one day, somebody wrote them, and this one goes back quite a ways, because it's back when, in about the beginning of the 1600s, when there had been a war in the Netherlands, and the Spanish, but you think, what are they doing up there? But anyway, they had been ruling the Netherlands, and they were defeated, so the Dutch were very happy to be free from them. And since then, the song has been made a celebration of thanksgiving for God, who is with us and looks after us. Let's stand and listen and sing.
Thank you.
Thanksgiving Sunday. You can see from the display here at the front that it represents some of the bounty of this season of the gardens, the fields, and the colors of fall. And we have much to be thankful for. So historically, Thanksgiving, it's been celebrated for many years, and we have a long history of this particular holiday. As the church, we use Thanksgiving Sunday as a special time of being grateful to God. And thankful, Thanksgiving is also time to reflect on changes, to remember that we too grow and change from one season to the other. Sometimes, this past week, I found myself kind of awkwardly stumbling towards Thanksgiving. It's not really a straightforward path. The events in the world can't be ignored. And I found myself really in a very privileged space to even be celebrating this day, to be thinking of having a big meal, to be doing the things that we do on Thanksgiving. It has given me some space to really think about and to ponder about Thanksgiving. My daily needs are met. I live in safety. To many in the world, I'm privileged beyond measure. And I think it's a good thing to remember that. Thankful people, in whatever situation, choose to be thankful. Thankful people don't have perfect lives. They still have to work with traffic tickets and barking neighbor dogs. They have to work with the varying personalities in their families and their work situations. They still get too much or too little rain on their crops. But perhaps they take just a little different approach in the middle of all that's happening, of life not being exactly ideal, to be thankful people, to choose to look at life just a little differently. Thankfulness walks beside us while we go through whatever life brings to us. As we see the beauty of this season of autumn, let's acknowledge the many blessings that we have, the many reasons to voice our individual thanks. Welcome to each of you on this Thanksgiving Sunday morning. All you who are regular attenders, those of you who are visiting for the first time, as we join together in worship, I just have to say this one thing. I hope you didn't come for the show. I hope you came to participate. None of us we are all here as participants. Your voices add to our being together this morning. You are also part of this, not just us that are here at the front. So I hope you feel that as we join together in worship this morning. Let us worship together. Let's join together with your voices, all of us. The call to worship that's printed in the bulletin. And Psalm 100 is the one. Perhaps there's other Thanksgiving songs that come to your mind. But let's do this one together. I'll read the light print. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his.
We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Let's pray together. God of all blessings, source of all life, giver of all grace, we thank you for the gift of life, for the breath that sustains life, for the food of this earth that nurtures life, for the love of family and friends without which there would be no life. We thank you for the mysteries, the mystery of creation, for the beauty that our eyes can see, for the sounds our ears can hear, for everything around us that fills us with wonder. We thank you for setting us in communities, for families who nurture what we become, for friends who love us by choice, for companions at work, people who share our burdens and daily tasks, for strangers who welcome us, for people from different parts of the world who challenge us and invite us to grow in our understanding. We thank you for children who lighten our moments with delight and who offer hope for our future. We thank you for this day and one more day to work for justice and peace in our world. We thank you for your grace, for your promise to be with us and to be our God. For these and all blessings, we give you thanks. Amen.
What shall we be thankful for? Number 89 in the blue book. It's a prayer. All five stanzas are a prayer. We say, Lord of all, to thee we raise this, our hymn of grateful praise. So let's stand and sing number 89.
Lord, of your deep of the earth, Lord of glory of the stars, Lord of which from our birth, O oh, have thou blessed us.
for that great singing. We have these words and we put a melody to it. It's great. This next song, right, the same page actually, number 90, this one is a declaration. We're actually just declaring something. It's not like a prayer. We're not talking to God on this one, but it's a really interesting one because it kind of changes the rhythm at the end of the first line. Well, to me it feels like it changes the rhythm. Thanks be to God. It just goes exactly how we say it. We say thanks be to God. All of a sudden, like, oh, da, 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 thanks be to God. It's like, ooh, did you change the beat? One, what happened? Anyway, it's fun for me. All right, let's try it.
Singable, and if not, I'll be singing it.
Just wanted to check and make sure it's my turn now.
Yeah.
It's good when we change things up. It keeps everybody on their toes. Right now, you'll see in your bulletins that it's time for announcements and sharing. This is really supposed to say opportunities, announcements and sharing, or eliminate announcements altogether and just replace it with opportunities. That's the kind of mindset we're trying to instill, especially when we're just reading the bulletin. We used to have worship leaders come up and say, well, I don't need to read the bulletin. You all can read it for yourself. And then they sit down. Not in this church, of course not. That was a totally different church, totally different place, different people altogether. But your opportunities do exist. Let's look at the top of the second page on the right-hand side. You'll see that Thursday, again, at 3 p.m., the Women in Mission are meeting. And you'll think to yourself, well, those Women in Mission are really gung-ho. They just met last Thursday. However, they did not, because the whole executive had COVID. And many of them are still recovering today. Everybody that usually sits in the center section is recovering today or throughout this week. So we postponed that meeting until this Thursday. However, there is a wider net of invitation opportunity for all of us to come here and enjoy an informal gathering of CMU alumni and friends, apparently, with Reynold Friesen and Dori Zerbe Kernelson. So if you would like to meet some of these people or just get together, there it is, Thursday at 7 p.m. Beneath the Pray For box, you have the opportunity to take a peace pin and express your preference for peace. I'm sure we all would agree for that. And that is in preparation for Remembrance Day coming up in November. We also have a peace conference that you can register for. This is probably online more than in person. Go on your computer, click on that, and then you'll be able to register for that peace conference put on by MCC Saskatchewan. Fourth annual. So that's nothing to be sneezed at. We see another opportunity here. Some people will be groaning. Some people like seeing numbers in the bulletin. Some say this sharing of our budget has no place in our worship. I disagree with that because I think giving is part of our worship together. And we will see there. We have no red ink. We can't afford red ink. That was a joke, people! And I think it was a pretty good one. We have fallen a little bit short there, and what better day to talk about it than on Thanksgiving? If you want to know more, come to the annual congregational meeting that will be held in November. And you see a big paragraph there. About the camping ministry, you might think I have no opportunity there. However, you do. If you have input, they are doing an analysis of all of the Mennonite camps in the province. I believe there are three. The one we care about the most, of course, is Lac Doche. Isn't that right, Galen? Had to do a shout out. He is one of the attendees of that camp when I was a camp pastor there. And so I'm analyzing the benefits and the needs of our camping ministry. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we bow down before you and we worship you as God, the one true God. We confess that we do not know you fully, and we confess that we go our own way, sometimes willfully, sometimes ignorantly. And we thank you that you always call us back, that you always welcome us with open arms. Thank you for calling us here today to gather, to remember where all the blessings have come from. Thank you for the peace that we enjoy and appreciate in this town, in this country, in our nation, and we continue to pray for our leaders at all levels, government leaders, church leaders, community leaders, and those who challenge us to work for peace and justice. We pray that you would continue to give them a voice and give us ears that hear and wills to move forward, to change old habits, to participate where we have the opportunity. Thank you so much for the many churches that are here in this area, and we pray for them as well. We pray, of course, for Mennonite churches in Saskatchewan, and we remember Warman Mennonite and their pastor. But we also pray for Trailview Alliance here in Swift Current, and we pray for their leaders and their congregation. Help us to realize we're all brothers and sisters, no matter which building we choose to gather inside of, but to see one another as part of one family, not only in worship, but also in work. Give us eyes that see our world the way that you see it. We watch the news and we hear these things happening. We pray for peace. We pray for a resolution to the conflict in the Ukraine. We all have our opinions about it, and we pray that your will be done. We do not want to see anyone suffering. We pray for the other places around the world that just don't seem to be getting as much attention anymore. We pray for the people that suffer because they've been displaced from their homes, because they don't have enough food, because of insecurity for different reasons. And we also pray for those organizations like AIMM that is doing training and community work in the DR Congo. There's so many different places that are near and dear to our hearts, and we ask that you would remind us to keep praying throughout the week, that we would never get tired of praying, that we wouldn't just think on Thanksgiving how lucky we are, but that we would continually look to you, knowing you are a God of love, and that all the blessings we have come from you. And so we would long for this also to be true for all of our brothers and sisters. We thank you for Rachel and Will and the way that they move around and the opportunities that you've given to them. We ask that you continue to bless them in their new marriage and their establishing their home. Guide and direct them. As we pray for our other young people who are trying to find their way in this very strained world and environment that we find ourselves. And we pray especially for Ruth and for her entire family. We pray that you would comfort her and encourage her and help us also to be faithful in seeing her and visiting her and showing her how much we love her and do care about her. Thank you for so many opportunities that we have. Help us to be less selfish and more ready to spend our energy and our time and attention in the things that are eternal. And so we pray the way you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen. Let's take our green book, the little spine-covered one there. Number 52 is Jesus, Help Us Live in Peace. It's written in 71, probably not too far. I can't remember exactly when the Vietnam War was, but this was written by an American, and it's a prayer for peace. I invite you to stand. Thank you.
I'm reading today from Exodus chapter 22, verse 21 and 29. And I read from the NIV. Do not mistreat or oppress a foreigner, for you were foreigners in Egypt. Do not hold back offerings from your grains or your vats. You must give me the firstborn of your sons. And from Exodus 23, verse 9 and verse 14 to 16. Do not oppress a foreigner. You yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners, because you were foreigners in Egypt. Three times a year, you are to celebrate a festival for me, to me. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Aviv, for in that month you came out of Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Celebrate the festival of harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. Celebrate the festival of ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in your crops from the field.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This summer, there was an assembly. The assembly was of Mennonite Church Canada, and so representatives from all sorts of Mennonite churches, well, not all sorts, but most of the churches in Mennonite Church Canada were represented there in Edmonton. And what came out of that assembly was a strong encouragement to the churches to be more inclusive in recognizing other cultures, others who have different backgrounds from what we have experienced, and most especially remembering the Indigenous people among us and our history. So when I was there, I heard these things and they weren't too unfamiliar, nothing too shocking, nothing surprising, no big agenda item. And yet how do we bring that home and how do we talk about it? Especially when we live in a place like Swift Current, and it seems to be so very white. I've just got to say it that way. It just, you know, not nearly as much as it used to be. I recognize there's so much more variety now, even in the last 7 years that we have lived here. And so things do change. However, does the church change? The church is built on a foundation that never changed, the foundation of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, the beginning and the end. So how can you take this church that is meant to be stable and unchanging and say, church, you got to change? And so I'm working with this idea of revisioning. Now you may have seen the title and said, revisioning. In my head, I was hearing revisioning. Because revisioning, as one word, you do some revision, you tweak it here and there, you make a few changes. Revisioning, with a little dash in between, and that was not Grace's mistake. I did not give her that little dash in between there. I said revisioning. Because lots of times, when things are going poorly, and someone will look in the bulletin and think, wow, things are really going poorly for Zion this year because we couldn't even meet our budget by a long shot. And they think money is the measure of whether or not things are going well or as they're supposed to. And so we feel, oh, things are falling apart. There is a crisis, even right here in our home, while there are so many crises around the world. Everything seems to be falling apart. And that is when groups get together and say, okay, we need to have a special meeting and do some visioning process. A vision for our future, our company, our whatever. These groups where people are coming together, always thinking about the visioning process. Look for ways to improve and be continuously successful. In order to do that, you have to recognize where you are. You have to recognize who you are. And so we have to recognize who we are and where we are. Here we are at Zion for today, on Thanksgiving Sunday. And so, of course, as Joy mentioned, this is a little bit historical. So you look at a little bit of the history, where did this Thanksgiving come from? And the quotation that I found really knocked me between the eyes. I'm going to save it a little bit, because I don't want to knock you out and then you won't even be hearing this other stuff that I find to say. So how about if we just sort of focus a little bit on the Exodus passage that Shirley read? Because this is who we are. This is the bedrock on which we plant our Thanksgiving Sunday. And for Ken, who mentioned that they had actually reaped a watermelon from their garden and did not bring that first watermelon as the offering of the first fruits, well, confession is good for the soul as well. However, there are some passages here, I think it's specifically Deuteronomy, which says, yes, bring in the tithes, that first fruit, and then do what with it? Eat it! Eat it together. So you bring it in and you eat it and you enjoy company together. That's a whole other kind of Thanksgiving, and I think it's what we did last Sunday. For those who thought we were going to have potluck here today, sorry, that was last Sunday we had our Thanksgiving potluck. We brought it all together and we ate it together. But if we go back to our foundation here, these foundation documents found in Exodus, we are the people of the Exodus, where God has freed us from slavery, figurative for us, figurative kind of slavery, to whatever we find ourselves enslaved. The need to prove ourselves, to be big, to get a good job, earn good money, be something, make a difference. I struggle with that. I want to look at my life and say, wow, am I having any impact? Am I successful in any stretch? So we look at this Exodus passage and recognize there who we really are. And God says, look, you, my people, I am blessing you, I am giving you. And then 3 times a year, you need to be appearing before me. And some of you are saying, hey, I'm better than that. I come to church more than 3 times a year. There are 52 Sundays in the year, therefore you should be in these pews 52 Sundays. No, I'm just joking. 3 times a year, and God says one of the most significant times to come before God is bringing in the harvest. When you recognize at the end of the year, this is what God has done for us, let's bring it back and ask for God's blessing. Bring the tithe. Lots of arguments about what the tithe is. Lots of arguments say, oh, that's Old Testament, I don't need to do that anymore. Well, we're not here to argue. We're just here to recognize that God says, do this because I have blessed you and I continue to bless you and this is what I expect from you. It's not the only thing, however. I also expect you, if you look at the Micah passage, which is a very favorite and famous passage, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. How do you do that? Walking humbly with your God. How do you act justly? And part of that justice is in bringing the first fruits, recognizing God has blessed us and giving that back and expecting God to keep blessing. Because if I think this is it, this is all God is going to give me. There's no way I want to let go of any of it. Knowing who God is, that God continues to bless and care for us, we need to be bringing everything back to Him. At the same time, walking with God humbly and doing justice, do not oppress your neighbor. Now we know the saying, you know, who do you step on to get ahead? Whether it's in a company, in a business, wherever you are at work, or in your group. Who in your group, let's just say it's your coffee group, you're sitting there together and drinking coffee. In your conversation, who are you stepping on to try and gain status in the group? Now you might think, what? What are you talking about? We don't do that. We encourage and we uplift one another as we sit and drink coffee. Good for you. But let's think together, even in our prayer closets at home, think about, how am I oppressing my neighbors? And especially when they are different and they have a different background from me. These two things, I believe, walk hand in hand. Bringing to God, recognizing God has blessed us, and continuing to not oppress our neighbors. Whoever our neighbors is. Not only our neighbors in our pew, but the neighbors who have come as refugees, asylum seekers, who have simply moved from another country, even from the U.S., let's not oppress them because they are American. It might seem funny, and yet it's becoming more and more like that. And let's be clear, we have neighbors here in this country that it does become popular to oppress, even in conversation or attitude or the way that we think about our indigenous peoples. Because there's so much proof, well, I have good reason. No, no good reason. Let's remember, these are our neighbors. And this is where the revisioning comes in. I'm not asking for any big change. Now we're going to stop doing this and we're going to start doing that. It's a whole new whiteboard and on. No. This starts with the way that we think. That's why it's called inspiration. The way we are inspired to view the vision that we have of ourselves and our neighbors. So let me get back to the thing that hit me between the eyes. The quotation. Thanksgiving started in 1859. In 1859, Protestant leaders asked colonialist government for a day. Who is writing this history? Who is revisioning or revising this history? Here we thought we were just so thankful and so grateful for everything that we grew, and we just decided we needed to give thanks. What happened was Protestant leaders asked the colonialist government for a day to celebrate. There already a crack is opening, a little bit of light, a little bit of possibility of thinking about ourselves or our history a little bit differently. Start from a different position. When we start just from where we are, we don't learn anything from our past. Oh, and then we don't have to confess anything either. Nice. Then we're all good. But we're not. Let's be truthful with ourselves. And one thing I know for myself, and I don't know if others feel this way as well, I don't like my days to be appropriated. My days, meaning, well, especially as a pastor, I hate it when there is appropriation of our Christian holidays by Dollarama, Giant Tiger, Walmart, you know, all of these big stores and everywhere else, people trying to celebrate Christmas and Easter and some other holidays in a totally wrong way, the wrong meaning entirely. They have appropriated these days that are sacred days and they use them to celebrate differently. And then I just thought, wow, what if people who were here before my ancestors came here, what if they feel that way? That their celebration, that their day had been appropriated by us? What? Me? This innocent little white girl? How is that possible? Let's look and revision our history. When we look at Russia invading Ukraine, we say, this is wrong, this shouldn't have happened. Russia appropriating lands that belong to another people. That's not right. Let's think about ourselves. I was reading this Anabaptist magazine, Anabaptist World it is, and there is an article that says, Russian forces seize church building and ministry center in Ukraine. You want to know more about that? That comes close to home. That's a Mennonite building. They were doing good deeds out of that building, and then Russia came in and appropriated it and celebrated. And celebrated. So maybe in our history, we came and appropriated what wasn't really ours and then celebrated? Is that what has happened and has brought us to this point? We used to live in Lethbridge, and I had a bicycle there. They have lots of places to ride bicycle in Lethbridge. It was wonderful. And I'm not stupid, so I locked my bike. I locked my bike on the post that is right in front of where I parked my car, and a nice, good lock. And I came out on one August long weekend, and I got into my car, and I looked ahead, and voila, my bicycle was gone. Someone had appropriated my bicycle, but had left behind the remnants of the bicycle lock. It had been snipped, gone, and the bicycle was appropriated. And as I was thinking about these different kinds of appropriation, I wondered to myself, I wonder if the person who took my bicycle was celebrating that bicycle. I could just imagine it. Riding around, beautiful weather, beautiful lanes. It's a wonderful place to ride a bike. Was this person who appropriated my bicycle now celebrating that appropriation? This is what I would offer to us. That we need to be willing to take steps, maybe a lot of steps back from where we are, and revision our history. Not only the stories we like to tell ourselves about Anabaptism, but really and truly revision. And then maybe some revision can happen. I want to conclude with the parable that Jesus told in Matthew 18. Because in Matthew 18, it's a beautiful story where the king, who was owed a lot of money by one of his slaves, was going to settle accounts. And he brought the slave, and the slave pleaded for mercy and said, I can't pay. And what did that king do? That king forgave entirely what that person owed. And so what that person should have done, I think we all know, especially on a day like today, this weekend, this is Thanksgiving, he should have been leaping for joy and said, thank you for that, that freedom. Again, the Exodus people. And what did he do? He turned around and found his fellow slave. That's the key phrase. He found his fellow slave and demanded payment. That's unjust. That's not the right thing to do. But let's realize everything that we have, everything that we see and experience belongs to God, who is the King of the universe. And this King has said to us, we are slaves. We need to revision who we really are and realize with thanksgiving how much freedom and bounty that God of blessing has given to us. Revision who we are and who our fellow slaves are. We're all the same, our fellow slaves. However, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. May that be the beginning of our visioning process.
Oh, God. Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.